أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Keep the line straight, stand shoulder to shoulder, fill in all the gaps, and ensure your heels are on the line. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين الله خالق كل شيء وهو على كل شيء وكيل له مقاليد السماوات والأرض والذين كفروا بآيات الله أولئك هم الخاسرون قل أفغير الله تأمروني أعبد أيها الجاهلون ولقد أوحي إليك وإلى الذين من قبلك لئن أشركت ليحبطن عملك ولتكونن من الخاسرين بل الله فاعبد وكن من الشاكرين وما قدر الله حق قدره والأرض جميعا قبضته يوم القيامة والسماوات مطويات بيمينه سبحانه وتعالى عما يشركون ونفخ في الصور فصعق ما في السماوات وما في الأرض إلا ما شاء الله ثم نفخ فيه أخرى فإذا هم قيام ينظرون وأشرقت الأرض بنور ربها ووضع الكتاب وجيء بالنبيين والشهداء وقضي بينهم بالحق وهم لا يظلمون ووفيت كل نفس ما عملت وهو أعلم بما يفعلون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
وسيق الذين كفروا إلى جهنم زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها فتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها ألم يأتكم رسل منكم يتلون عليكم آياتي وينذرونكم لقاء يومكم هذا قالوا بلى شهدنا على أنفسنا قالوا بلى ولكن حقت كلمة العذاب على الكافرين قيل ادخلوا أبواب جهنم خالدين فيها قال ادخلوا أبواب جهنم خالدين فيها فبئس مثوى المتكبرين وسيق الذين اتقوا ربهم إلى الجنة زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها سلام عليكم طبتم فادخلوها خالدين وقالوا الحمد لله الذي صدقنا وعده وأورثنا الأرض نتبوأ من الجنة حيث نشاء فنعم أجر العاملين وترى الملائكة حافين من حول العرش يسبحون بحمد ربهم وقضي بينهم بالحق وقيل الحمد لله رب العالمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر Allahu Akbar. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Last Wednesday, we talked about, we started off this discussion of different events that took place in the month of Shawwal. And this was led up because usually in Ramadan, we talk about everything that happens in Ramadan. And last week, we talked about a very important topic that, in my opinion, I think every Muslim should know about, because a lot of times, people that are unaware, they point a finger and they object about the topic that we spoke about last week, and that was the Prophet ﷺ's marriage to al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha. And last week we broke it down and kind of dissected the whole incident, showing that it was something that was common in those days and something that was well accepted in those days, to the point that Aisha radiallahu anha, she was previously engaged before the marriage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And inshallah, today we will go on to our next event. So again, inshallah, every Wednesday we'll talk about a different event that took place in the month of Shawwal. Today's event is actually the Battle of Uhud. And to understand the Battle of Uhud, you know, we talk about the different battles, and usually what comes to mind is that one army comes from there, another army comes from there, and they just start fighting. And that's why it's important to actually understand the buildup, what caused this battle. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his first experience in war, and a lot of Orientalistic people, they actually raise this objection about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that why are there so many battles that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fought? And na'udh billah, they actually say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was blood hungry, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect. The first battle that the Prophet ﷺ ever took part in was a battle called Harb al-Fijjar. Rasulullah ﷺ was roughly 15 to 20 years old. This battle lasted for 5 years. Harb al-Fijjar actually means the inappropriate war. It wasn't meant to happen. Everything about this war was wrong. It could have easily been avoided. It happened in the wrong months. It happened over something that was very, you know, that wasn't a big issue. They could have came to terms and just, you know, settled this, but it ended up lasting for 5 years, where there was this rivalry between the people of Taif and the people of Mecca. And they actually met on the battlefield for just 5 days. But the rivalry that took place is that whenever someone from Mecca would pass by Taif, they would get mugged, they would get attacked, and the vice versa as well. But they met on the battlefield for 5 days. And one of those 5 days, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was peer pressured into taking part. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I was there and my job, what I did was, I didn't fight. I went around and I scavenged arrows that were still usable. And I brought them and gave it to my uncles. But because this was the first experience that the Prophet ﷺ had when it came to war, and this experience wasn't a pleasant experience, it was a, you know, it was a not so pleasant experience because everything about it was wrong. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't like to go to war. It wasn't something that Rasulullah ﷺ, you know, usually if you get somebody, if your first time doing something is a pleasant experience, you enjoy it. For example, if you're going to go bowling and the first time it's all gutter balls, then the second time you're like, you know, I'm going to pass up. But the first time you go for archery and it's every time it's right there on the mark, the second time, I definitely want to do that again because my first experience was so good. So the first battle the Prophet ﷺ took part in was Harb al-Fijjar. Everything about it was wrong. And after 5 days of fighting, they actually came and said, why are we fighting? Let's sit down. It makes no sense. And they sat down, they came to terms, and the battle was over. Now, so this objection is brought up against the Prophet ﷺ many times. And that's why it's important to understand the backstory of each of the battles that Rasulullah ﷺ took part in. And the first thing that you will see, that the Prophet ﷺ, majority of the ghazawat that he fought in are all defensive battles. Wherever the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims were on the offense, it was because the Prophet ﷺ got the news that these people are going to attack us. And the Rasulullah ﷺ said, instead of us waiting for them to attack us, let's catch them off guard and take the battle to them. And what ends up happening is that when these people are caught off guard, the battle ends up not taking place. For example, the Battle of Muraysia. Muraysia, the Battle of Muraysia. The Prophet ﷺ hears that this locality is going to attack the Muslims. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes there, catches them off guard, and the battle actually only lasts for 1 hour. That's it. 1 hour, and they all, you know, they scramble, they retreat back, and they leave. And this was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's foresight of how to avoid bloodshed. So here in Battle of Uhud, we look at the backstory of Uhud. The backstory of Uhud was actually Badr. So a little bit of back context. In the first year, the Prophet goes to Madinah to Munawwarah, and there's no battle that takes place. Rasulullah establishes a brotherhood, he establishes a Muslim community, they build a masjid, they build an azan, they now have a center to come to. Then in the second year, the Prophet and the Muslim, they fought the Battle of Badr. And the Battle of Badr wasn't meant to be a battle. It was just go and stop a caravan, again, a defensive move. But then the situation changes, where this caravan that was going to Sham, to Syria, the Prophet ﷺ said that we have to stop this caravan because if we do not stop it, the funds that they get from there, they're going to use it to attack us and hurt and fight against Muslims. Abu Sufyan, who was in charge of this caravan, when he hears about the Prophet ﷺ coming, he ends up doing two things. The first, Abu Sufyan, he sends for reinforcements. He sends somebody to Makkah to Muqarramah saying that the Prophet ﷺ, Muhammad, has attacked us. Come and save your wealth. And this is where the Quraysh sent 1,000 people, and these 1,000 people brought the Muslims the 313 lines of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing that Abu Sufyan does is that he takes an alternative route. He leaves the main route, and he takes an alternative route, and he actually gets to Sham, he gets to Syria, and they buy and sell. They come back, and now they have all of this wealth that they made the intention that we're going to use it to attack the Muslims. So the backstory of the Battle of Badr, of Battle of Uhud is, number one, is they had this wealth that they wanted to use against the Muslims. They had the funds. And number two is the grievance that they had from Badr. The Quraysh had lost 19 of their leaders. Prophet ﷺ, after the battle, he had a dried up well where these bodies were disposed into this dried up well of 19 of the leaders of Badr. The grievance that the Quraysh had, now you can just imagine, for example, right now, the Mavs are playing the Golden State Warriors in the conference finals. If the Mavs go on to the NBA finals, and in game 7 they were to lose, for a full year, I guarantee the people of Dallas will just speak about that. Only if we did this, and only if we did that, and so on, so player, and you know, Steph Curry, and you know, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. For 1 year, at least, we're going to grieve over the pain of being so close, but then facing defeat. And now you can imagine, in Mecca, this was a hot topic. Can you believe it? We lost against 313. Abu Jahl was such a strong person of ours, strong leader. Umayyah bin Khalaf, Utbah bin Rabia, all these different leaders, we lost so many people. So they still had this grievance of losing their main leaders, and this is where they got together an army of now 3,000 people. This message comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This news comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sits down with the companions and he says, "Wa amruhum shura bainhum." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always took people's opinions. And now this is what you see. This is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually won over people's hearts. It wasn't that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the uncles or called those people that were close to him and only asked them, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam included everybody, even the younger kids, the Prophet ﷺ included them as well. Where Rasulullah ﷺ asks the whole group that what should we do? We have 3,000 coming and attacking us. What should our approach be? The older Sahaba, the more mature Sahaba, they said, "Ya Rasulullah, let's fight a defensive battle. Let's fight from within Madinatul Munawwarah." The younger companions that were not able to fight in the Battle of Badr, they said, "Ya Rasulullah, let's go onto the battlefield and let's take the fight to them." So this shows you that the Prophet ﷺ didn't only ask the older ones, but he asked the younger companions as well. There was a person by the name of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Surun. I mentioned this name many times. And Abdullah bin Ubay bin Surun, the Prophet ﷺ even asks him and he gives his opinion. Now the unique thing about Abdullah bin Ubay bin Surun is that he was known as Ra'isul Munafiqin, the leader of the hypocrites. And he gives his opinion as well. Right? So it wasn't like, you're a munafiq, why are you giving your opinion? Just get out of here. The Prophet says, okay, let him speak his piece too. And he says, "Muhammad, we should fight a defensive battle from within Medina." His intention was wrong, that if the Muslims fight a defensive battle and they are defeated, then that will eradicate and wipe out the Muslims, and then I can come back into power the way that I was supposed to come into power before Muhammad came into Madinatul Munawwarah. The Prophet ﷺ, he takes the opinion of the younger companions, the younger Sahaba, and he says that we are going to go to Uhud, the mountain range, to the battlefield, and we are going to take the fight to them. On the way there, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulul, he turns around and he says to the Prophet ﷺ, because, you know, as kids sometimes, you maybe played baseball or cricket, and this one kid wants to play, and because he doesn't get his turn, he says, "I'm taking my bat and going home. I'm taking my basketball. Give me my basketball. Now it's not my turn. I'll take my basketball, go home." Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulul says that because you didn't take my opinion, I'm going home. And I'm going to take everybody from my clan with me as well. So the Muslims initially were 3,000 versus 1,000. But Abdullah bin Ubay bin Surud says, "I'm going to take 300 people from my clan, and we're going back to Madinatul Munawwarah because you did not take my opinion." Now the Muslims were now outnumbered 3,000 to 700. As the battle begins, there are a few things that happens. One of the unique instances is that there was a Sahabi by the name of Sumrata bin Jundub. Sumrata bin Jundub, so we said the younger companions that didn't fight in the battle of Badr, they were now lining up, and they were roughly around 12, 13 years old. Sumrata bin Jundub, he sees that the Prophet ﷺ is selecting the companions, and this other companion stands on his tippy toes to seem a little bit taller. And the Prophet ﷺ says, okay, you can come. Sumrata wasn't standing on his tippy toes, and the Prophet ﷺ said, you go back. You're still small. Sumrata goes to his father and says, Rafi there, he was standing on his tippy toes and he was cheating. If me and him were to fight and wrestle, I could take him. And his father says, are you sure? He says, yes, I'll take him. His father, Sumrata's father, goes to the Prophet ﷺ and says to Rasulullah ﷺ that this is my son's claim, that you selected Rafi and you didn't select my son. If both of them were to wrestle, my son, Sumrata, would take Rafi. So the Prophet ﷺ said, okay, let them wrestle. As they're about to wrestle, Sumrata goes to Rafi and whispers in his ear, my brother, your spot is pakka. You've got your spot in the battle. Throw the match and let me get my spot as well. You've earned your spot. The Prophet ﷺ already said yes to you. If you throw the match, then I can get a yes as well. If you win, you're going to go ahead. I'm going to have to go back to Medina tomorrow. Don't deprive me of this. Rafi says, okay. He falls to the ground, lets Sumrata cover him. The Prophet said, both of y'all, go ahead. Hey, a very beautiful story. And this shows you the zeal that the companions had. And we talked about this last week, how the young companions at 12, 13 were fighting in the battles, and not just fighting in the battles that their father dragged him along. That's like the kind of the story that we have at the masjid. You're 13, 14-year-old, your father's dragging you along to come to the masjid. These kids actually wanted to take part. And they wanted to be in, be a part of history. Another incident that happens is there was a companion by the name Abu Dujana. Abu Dujana, two things happened in the Battle of Uhud with him. The first thing is that the Prophet ﷺ, he has a sword, and he says that, I will give my sword to a person who loves Allah and Allah and his messenger love him. And with this sword, he will cause havoc tomorrow in Uhud. Now, all the companions would come to the Prophet ﷺ trying to give some hints. And you can imagine, Umar r.a. comes to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, how are you? You good? What about that sword? He said, no, Umar, go back. Hamza radiallahu anhu comes, Ya Rasulullah, that sword? No, go back. Abu Dujana comes to the Prophet ﷺ and says, Ya Rasulullah, what are the rights of this sword? And the Prophet ﷺ, he says to Abu Dujana that the rights of this sword is that this sword, because it's a sword of the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it cannot fall upon the innocent. And it cannot fall upon the children. It cannot fall upon the women, the elderly. And besides that, there is no backing down with it. Abu Dujana says, and Abu Dujana was an Ansari companion. A lot of times you hear about the Muhajir companions, the original, the early As-Sabiqun al-Awwalun. Abu Dujana, he takes a sword and he says, Ya Rasulullah, give it to me and I promise you I will fulfill the commandment. Zubair bin Awam, radiallahu anhu, and Zubair bin Awam is one of my favorite Sahaba. Zubair bin Awam says that I was so upset that I didn't get this sword, I didn't get the honor of the sword of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that I followed Abu Dujana. Let me see what he does. Like, how did he get it and I didn't get it? And he said Abu Dujana was like a machine, just dropping people. And Zubair bin Awam, he narrates a hadith, very beautiful hadith. He says that Abu Dujana, he actually saw Hind on the battlefield. And we know what Hind did in the Battle of Uhud. And he raises his sword and he stops it. And he says, why? Because I made a promise to the Prophet of Allah that this sword would not fall on a lady. And he retreats. The second thing, and I'll end off with this, we're just touching the surface, we're just like scratching Battle of Uhud. There's like so much more to go. Maybe we'll continue next week. The Abu Dujana, he actually had this bandana that he would tie on his head. And before a battle, he would do this strut, like the MacGyver strut, right? Just walk around, you know, with his chest out. And while he was doing this, he ties his bandana on his head and he's doing his strut. Some of the companions went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, this shows pride. This shows arrogance." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said something very beautiful. He says that showing arrogance and pride in front of the oppressor is actually a good thing. And the scholar said this is the one time that pride is permissible in Islam. Where you have somebody that's oppressing others, the zalim. In front of them, if you become all weak and, you know, mashallah, humble, then this will just increase them in their oppression. But in front of the oppressor, when you kind of said, no, this is not going to happen, you have to stop. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually allows Abu Dujana to carry on with his, you know, pre-battle rituals. And this actually hypes the whole army up. Inshallah, we'll stop. We'll go ahead and stop here. And next week, we'll carry on with the Battle of Uhud. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the ability to take lessons from this beautiful battle. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.